So we left off last week. We were trying to tackle the issue of what we call today chol of companies, a drinking milk from what we'll call Tuscan or other companies produced here in America at least, and the issue of chol of Yisrael. We discussed last week the idea in the Gemara and Avodah Zarah that the prohibition for why we're not allowed to have milk that wasn't milked by a Jew is because of the chashash that the guy might have mixed small amounts of not kosher milk into the kosher milk, small amounts to the point where you probably have roiv that says it's kosher milk, a minority of not kosher milk, and that's a violation of an issur d'rabbanan. We did mention last week towards the end that there is a sheet of the Pri Chadosh, which is widely not accepted by later Achrayim, but the Pri Chadosh had a comment that he understood the prohibition as it's usher to drink milk that might have pig's milk in it. Therefore, argued the Pri Chadosh, if you can know with some form of certainty that there is no tummy milk in here, how would you know that, says the Pri Chadosh? Because there's no tummy animals in the vicinity. He says the city, which is very highly debatable because you tell me the whole, he spoke about Amsterdam. He tell me there's no pigs in Amsterdam, there's no horses in Amsterdam. But that was the comment the Pri Chadosh made. And we mentioned that the Chasam Sofer argued on the Pri Chadosh. The Chasam Sofer said that's not the way it was structured. The way it was structured was that Chazal prohibited all milk that was not milked in front of the presence of a Jew. There's one very important halacha we need to mention. We mentioned it last week heavily, is that the Shulchan Aruch writes, and this is brought down from the Gemara, that if you have a situation where the guy is milking the cow inside his house and he has no pigs on his farm, and the Jew is not actively watching the milking, but he's standing and watching by the doorway. Again, he's not watching the milking, and he can't watch the milking, but what he is watching is the traffic coming into the house. That, the Shulchan Aruch says, is okay, based on the Gemara and Avodah Zarah. Okay, so what we want to discuss today, and we just talked about it last week, is what happens now that we have government regulations. Now that we have the FDA and government regulations and other things that prevents that prevents companies who claim to be cow milk only from putting pig's milk in, does that now create enough of a yediyah, enough of a knowledge that we now know that there is no cow, there's no pig's milk there? And if we know, should that be enough to say it's on the same level as if a Jew watched it? Because the assumption is there's no din that a Jew needs to watch it. It was just the only way to have a certainty that there was no mu'urav was a Jew watching it. So if I could produce that certainty with another mode, another means, perhaps that would be okay as well. So everyone knows, and Billy Nedda will get to it tonight, that Rav Moshe wrote a tshuva about this. But as we mentioned last week, perhaps such a svara was thrown out quite a few years before Rav Moshe's tshuva came out, and such a svara was mentioned by the Chazon Ish. If you look at number one, the Chazon Ish in Yerodeh writes the following statement. Zog the Chazon Ish. However, this Chazon Ish, if you were to look it up, he's actually talking about a different shaila, which I thought we'd get to tonight, but we will not get to it tonight. What about powdered milk? There's a big machlokes achrayim. What is the status of powdered milk? Which I think I got confirmation that Entenmann's does use powdered milk. Some Dunkin' Donuts use powdered milk. Someone told me the other week that he couldn't drink regular milk. He had to bring his own powdered milk. But people do have powdered milk. So powdered milk, is that under the ban? So the Chazon Ish says it's yes. Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank says it's not. But this was what the Chazon Ish was talking about. And he says mamish one line. Zog the Chazon Ish. However, b'sheyesh pikuach ha-memshalo al ha-cholov. But if there's government involvement on the milk, so you arvu cholov tomei, that you can't mix in not kosher milk, v'heim tzifuyim lo'inish al ha-ziyuf. And they're going to punish you if you are caught putting in not kosher milk. Yesh mokum loyma. These are the million-dollar words. Yesh mokum loyma. There is room to say. And we'll see later Achrayim say, there's room to say, but it doesn't mean he's willing to hang his hat on it. Yesh mokum loyma means, yeah, in theory, maybe, in lomdis, in her. Yesh mokum loyma da havihash kishvachos hachovos de mirsas. It's like the case of the Ramon Shulchan Aruch that says, if you can scare the girls, I was talking about your shvachos, your workers, that they're scared to mix in because they'll lose their job, says the Chazon Ish, I create mirsas. It's like the case of the Gemara where you're standing on the side. Ukishu aymed huraya. Then in the middle he quotes the Pri Chadosh. And this is where Achrayim get a little confused. This has nothing to do with the Pri Chadosh. The Pri Chadosh has to do with the fact that it's hard to come or that pig's milk is more expensive. This is a totally different svara. This is a svara that if I can create a mirsus, I can create a knowledge that there is no pig's milk or tummy milk, that should be good enough. So the question is this Chazon Ish the heter for what we call today chol of companies? So most people assume no. And we'll see what everyone says about this Chazon Ish. But this is the first time, before Rav Moshe's Tshuva in 1954, this was a Chazon Ish who really developed this possibility that government involvement perhaps can accomplish the same thing as a Jew milking it. However, as we'll see, many of the later Achrayim assumed that that was not the intent of the Chazon Ish. So let's start like this. Rav Moshe Sternbach, number 2 in Tshuvas on August, writes, Yesh, Tzayim 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 Rabbeinu Achaz Yesh Akaz Hadu Mokim Sheyesh Bekuach Mayim Mishalo Loi La'arav Becholov Min Ach Yesh Lahato Cholov Akum Tavik Yishvach Is Demir says, there are those people who read the Chaz Yesh. The way we just read it, that this is a heter. This Chaz Yesh is not Rav Moshe. Everyone says, milk today is mut because of Rav Moshe. No, it's mut today because of the Chaz Yesh. Says Rav Moshe Sternbach, it's not correct. Why? He says, I heard from Rabbi Yisrael Waltz. I actually looked up the tshuva for Rabbi Yisrael Waltz. It's a long, lengthy tshuva. Rabbi Yisrael Waltz was an Hungarian paisik. And he writes, no. Sheshom mipi Rabbeinu HaChazi. He ended up moving to Eretz Yisrael later, but he was an Hungarian originally. And he says, no, I heard from the Chaz Yesh. The Heshiv, she'ein dvar v'lo ma'isa klal. The Chaz Yesh never meant it practically. Elo liyolodim ketanim. He only meant it for small children. Or yoledes tech shloshim. Okay. Okay, he doesn't say it. That's what you got to know. That's the beauty of these types of things, right? Chazanish writes a comment, which again, in Svara, there's no real room to be machalik, but that's what Yisrael Waltz says over. He said that's what everyone says over. If you look in the next Maramakam, number 3, this is from the Stipler. The Orchas Rabbeinu was written by a Rabbi Horowitz, who's a Talmud of the Stipler. And the Stipler and the Chazanish were already family. They were brother-in-laws. So maybe the Stipler had a little bit more insight than we know from the Chazanish. And he writes that he heard from Moron, which is the Stipler, who was talking about permitting the Chaz Yesh. The piece of the tshuva was the Chaz Yesh said powdered milk is the same as regular milk, but if you have government involvement, so maybe you can be matter that and powdered milk. So he says over here that he heard from the Stipler again. Vaita, this whole Chazanish, with this whole heter based on the government, was again only for people that are in a difficult situation. They can't come to have regular Chol of Yisrael. Doesn't say that. There's no real reason to think that, but that's what everyone seems to be saying. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and Emes Yaakov wrote a letter. Someone wrote him a letter in 1952. Tov Shin Yud Beis. Again, that's 2 years before Rav Moshe's Tshuva was written in 1954. 1952, someone asked Rabbi Yaakov the following Shaila. This Shaila was a lady who just had a baby. Okay, now remember, 1952... I was still a young boy then, but right, it wasn't so easy to get Chol of Yisrael milk as it is today. Keep that in mind. That's why a lot of these tshuvas, I put the date on them, because it has a little bit of a background information. So 1952, someone asked Rabbi Yaakov, what do you do with a lady who just had a baby? She's a yoledes, and she can't get Chol of Yisrael milk. It's hard for her to get Chol of Yisrael milk. Can she drink what we call today Chol of companies? My kids always ask me, they go to school, and the kids in school talk about Chol of Yisrael. So my kids ask me, do we eat Chol of Yisrael in our house? So my answer is yes. They said, do we only eat Chol of Yisrael? I said, yes. We eat Chol of Yisrael, and Chol of that I think has the same status as Chol of Yisrael. Or I tell them, we eat Chol of companies. That's the other thing we eat. We eat Chol of companies in our house. We eat Chol of Yisrael, and we eat Chol of companies. That's really what the answer is. And that usually doesn't go over well, and it gets confusing. And I tell them, whatever, we eat whatever we eat. Okay.
Before you sign the internet form.
They're calling the yeshiva, right? What are you sending them with? It gets complicated, but that's I think that's the right answer. That's what Rav Moshe calls it. Over, we'll see all his tshuvas. He labeled that term chol of companies, because again, you still can't drink milk from your next door neighbor if he has a farm. That you still can't drink. I had a shaila. I was at a hotel last week where they had just a pitcher, and it said on it milk. Do I know where the milk came from? I have no idea. Bishlam, if it says Tuscan on it, I know Tuscan bottled milk. Now, there's no reason to think they swapped out Tuscan. That's still, but here, I wasn't sure, but maybe we'll talk about it a little later today.
How frequent is pig's milk or horse milk?
But that's the Prichodesh is heter that we said in the Velt is not Samechan. That would be the Prichodesh. The Prichodesh would say, what are you talking about? Why would some hotel go out? Now, I don't believe, I'm not an expert, but I don't believe the FDA rules what a hotel does for their coffee. I mean, if a hotel serves coffee, I don't know if the FDA can come in and say, oh, no, you got to make sure it's cow milk. I don't believe so. I think that's only for, like, big companies and things like that. But again, there is an argument, which we'll be glad we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, that if it got known that hotels are serving pig's milk to their guests, people will stop going to the hotel, or they'll be very upset. So that's something we need to talk a little bit more about. But that's not government. There's no government involved. I don't think so. There's allergies in health, but I don't know if there's government regulated the same way it is as the big milk companies. That's what we call it, Chol of companies. A company is regulated. Individuals, yeah, I can go to my next door neighbor and he probably is not having pig's milk, my guy. But there's nothing stopping him from having it besides for it's more expensive or hard to get. Yeah, to which it's hard to get and it's more expensive, but if you don't hold it to Bichol, it doesn't matter. So let's see a little bit more about it. So Rabbi Yaakov writes a number 4 in his letter to this lady. Look what he says. He says, V'hine goin dorenu bal chazinish b'sifroi zeho'achrin mekel. Rabbi Yaakov understood the chazinish like that the chazinish was mekel. The chazinish said the government of Hamad is good enough. Then he quotes the Chazanish, but he writes, "V'avsh in the midin halacha l'maisa." Okay, maybe that's not what we can bring out from the Chazanish from a practical. But this much you could do, Zokti B'Yakov. You can use the Chazanish at least for you. Why? Because you're already within the first 30 days you have a status of a chayla. This is the greatest shas of chak. Shekadai v'ro'u hu goin zelus mechalov. So does that mean Rabbi Yaakov understood the Chazanish was be'etzem a real heter? It's just skeptical whether we accept the Chazanish. So you, b'shas atchak, you can accept the Chazanish. Or did he mean like everyone else? That the whole Chazanish was only written for people like this. It's not 100% clear. And then he says, what about for the kids? Little kids, 2-3 year olds, they need their milk. They need their milk to get strong bones. So the kids can also have the chol of companies. We'll talk a little later today. What about the kalim? Let's say you're not makban a chol of Yisrael, but you have a family member who's makban a chol of Yisrael. What do you do then? So it's actually, again, there was a pizza store in New Rochelle. That's under the Vada Rabbanim of Queens. And they have a big sign there. The sign says that we are chol of Yisrael and we're not chol of Yisrael. So I asked the president of the Vada, I said, what do you do with the kalim? So he said, you're right, Lubavitchers can't eat there. Everyone else can eat there. Well, why can't Lubavitchers eat there? Because Lubavitchers are makbid gomer, that this is usr. So for them, the kalim are blias kalim usr. For everyone else, we know Rav Moshe in the back of her head, or the Chazanish. We're not semich on the chatchil, but for the kalim, it's enough to be semich, as we'll see a little later this evening. So halach lemaisa, if you're having, let's say, visitors in your house that are makban achal Yisrael, you don't have to buy new kalim. You don't have to buy new kalim. The kalim are not a problem unless they're mamish. No, if you make hot stuff. Yeah, let's say you make a lasagna in your house, you make pizza, then you're going to have a problem. Okay, the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch, the real chol of akum, meaning let's say real, pig's milk that would be cooked in your oven would taka be a problem for your kalim. The argument is Tuscan milk really that? Because we have what to be semach. So Rabbi Yaakov is somewhat in between. He somewhat thinks that there is this chazanish, but maybe the chazanish can only be used for certain people. Then he writes in the end, V'chein muto losis matono la'achot sho'ichel cholo b'li ashkochas Yisrael, v'eim ezeh mishum v'ni'ivir afsha anoysin atzmei makbid al zeh. Let's say you want to give someone a present, and you're makbid al chol Yisrael. But they're not. Is that l'fni'ivir? So Rabbi Yaakov, it's not l'fni'ivir. So it sounds like for Rabbi Yaakov that he's at least in the ballpark that there is what to be saimach, and he thinks it is a heter. You might decide not to go like the Chazanish, okay, but it sounds like it's at least a viable option to be saimach on the Chazanish. Rabbi Yitzchak Gabari and Or Yitzchak sounds even more clear like that. Someone asked him the shayla number 5. Hayim efshar l'shtamish b'cholav shechal be'akam afilu b'makam sheish chol v'yisrael. Is it mutter to use chol companies when you can get a chol v'yisrael? Today you go to the store, they have Tuscan right next to Golden Floor, right next to each other. You can get one as easy as the next. It's going against the law. Tshuva says Rabbi Yitzchak Gabari in the Fichoyka Medina Asal Arav B'Cholav Stam Shum Cholav Menachem. It's Taka. That's the law, which I think it is today. Efshel Lismei Chazal Lechatchila. Ve'ein Tzarich B'Shmiri Yisayi. You don't need anything more than that. Parentheses Ayin Chazinish. Does that sound like that? That means he thinks that's what the Chazinish is saying. So the Heter of Mirsis is the Chazinish. Okay, this is another svar which Rav Moshe also discusses. They're going to lose their reputation. Forget government and fines. Reputation. Reputation means a lot today. Zokta Be'abadi, gam zet tamas pika leheter. And this is very, very relevant as the fine from the FDA is very low. According to Rav Moshe Sternbach, the fine is $200. Tuscan probably pays that in parking tickets alone on any given day. But the answer doesn't matter. It's not so much the money, it's a reputation. If word gets out that Tuscan farm is putting pig's milk into their cow milk, people are going to go crazy. The internet's going to blow up. You know, social media, people are going to be outraged.
I can't believe it's only a couple hundred dollars.
That's what he writes. I tried finding it once. I couldn't get good information. That's what he writes in the Tshuva. We'll see it inside. He writes, it's somewhere between $25 and $100. I don't know. Rav Moshe himself discusses it as well in the Tshuva. So I always thought that this heter that everyone attributes to Rav Moshe can perhaps really be found earlier in the words of the Chazanish. However, everyone and their cousin disagrees with me, and they think the Chazanish is b'chlal, not in that party at all. Why? So if you look over here, number 6 in the Sefer Kinyan Torah, which is a contemporary, he writes like this. U'mashetolu atzman be'ilon godol ha-Chazanish. You want to hang the heter of Chol of Companies on the great Chazanish. He quotes the words of the Chazanish. He writes this, I skipped just when he repeats the Chazanish. He writes, he says, first of all, Even if there'd be no pig's milk at all, no pigs anywhere, it's still aser because of the Chassam Sofer's cheshbon from last week. Then he quotes the Tzemach Tzedek, ki dafilu yove elyo ein shem loy, ula Chassam Sofer afli kenedet ereisa, hine gam beloshen achazinish loy pasik behechlet. Argue the Kenyan Torah, the Chazinish himself didn't say it with a certainty. Rak di yesh makom loymer. There's room to say. And he quotes an interesting Pesachei Tshuva and Eben Ezra that says, the kishakasev efsher ein hechlet. That whenever it says the word efsher, that's not a decision. Maybe it's a possibility. That's something you say when you're learning lomdus. The Chazanish was saying lomdus. I think in lomdus, one can argue that pikuach hamemshal is good enough. Does that mean the Chazanish was saying halacha lemaisa? No. Rav Moshe wrote a tshuva and he was telling you how to live your life. The Chazanish's sefer wasn't structured to be a halacha lemaisa dika sefer. It was being used as a pshat and a gemara and a void dessert. Okay. It's funny because sometimes they use the Chazanish as a halacha sefer. So you gotta know when you use it, which way. Umau gam duchol hadimyon neshvach as a chalovas tumu moed. Secondly, the comparison that the Chazanish made is flawed. Why? Disham shayach tzad ri'iyah. This is where it gets interesting. They say, and this is a shtickle tzarechim by me, why, that we see from the Shulchan Aruch that you need to have the Jew standing by the house, watching the traffic in and out of the house. Not watching the milking, watching the in and out traffic of the house. So you see from there that you need to see something. Not seeing doesn't work. And they try to explain it. I don't get it clearly. He writes, Umad called him in the Shom Shaykh Tzadriyadi Behemis Yisrael, the base Yisrael, the Refish Achorei Abayis. Vachsam Sofer Sholo Zoyt Mashakos of Chol Shaykh Yisrael, Rowi, O Yochli Rois. It has to be something about seeing. Umemela de Ain Lidmus Lyoshi Betzado Eder, Oikishu Oimid Roya, Afishuzel Beedrish Akum, Kumubi Gemara, Al Kose Yeshla Tzadriyas Yisrael. You're seeing something. You might not be seeing the actual milking, but you're seeing something. As opposed to the fact that when you're sitting with the government and you're sitting in your house, you're not seeing anything. Who needs to see? Seeing is just a way of knowing. If I can know with another means, shouldn't that fill the void of seeing? And then he writes, the Mishnah says very clearly, the Jew has to see it. This is not seeing. We'll see how Rav Moshe deals with this. That case is he could see. There's potential. It's not enough just to know without seeing. Okay? And then he concludes in 6b. You need to have at least the ability. When I'm standing by the door, I could see. When I'm sitting at my house and Tuscan is running the machines, I can't get in there. I can't see what's going on. The only gemara of mirsas is at least I could see. The case of the shvacha is I could double check on my shivcha. Here I can't double check. The government can double check, but I can't double. I can never see. Okay, I would have argued that because in the times of the Gemara, there was no other mitzias except for a mitzias where you could see. If they would have had government in the times of the Gemara, maybe that would have sufficed as well. Yeah, I just saw one of these more contemporary Swami meetings, camera should work as well because people are afraid. It creates the same mirsas. But their argument, these achrayim, their argument on this comment of the Chazanish is there's no such thing called mirsas. Even though we saw a Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch and a Gemara, that Gemara is not just Mirsas. It's Mirsas with at least the ability or somewhat what we call a watered-down vision. But no vision with just Mirsas that we never heard of. That's because it didn't exist. I don't think that's a riot. I think because there was never a Metzias to have Mirsas without anything else. Now that we have government, so now we have it. So to me, it's a shtickle hard time. But this was even more interesting. In the same piece in Kinyan Torah number 7, he says, I spoke to the stipler about this. He says, I laid out my argument to the stipler that I don't think the Chazanish really meant what he wrote. He was the problem of the Chazanish. He said everything I said was right. There's a new version of the Chazanish. The Chazanish only permitted powdered milk after, right after Hakamas HaMedina, right after the World War II, where things were very difficult. Everything was so hard. They realized they can't eat anything, and fish was asr, and the meat was asr. They couldn't get anything. Everything was so complicated. Therefore, and when they came to Eretz Yisrael after the Holocaust, they were used to a different standard, different style, and everything was no good. And he said, milk was also no good. The kids and the people need to have something. Again, then the chazanish was matter with the powder for the weak people. The mehem shegil lechal sakana chas v'shalom avu kimoi b'dinu seinu chas v'shalom lahater. But the chazanish never meant it. Today, kol shekin, today when you go to the grocery store, there's two bottles of milk. There's the chal of Yisrael and the chal of companies. No way would the chazanish tell you can do so. In Niskabel, I don't know. I wasn't there. The chazanish said it. But then I found the best source. He's a contemporary. He lives in Eretz Yisrael. Then I found...
Is there any merit to the fact that the whole stamble, the company milk will last twice as long?
No. There's a tshuva from the Achrayim. They talk about, I think they quoted from a Radvaz. Let's say it costs more money. And we'll talk about it if it costs more money. We'll see what Moshe talks about as well in the tshuva. Yaakov Breish, I think this is the best. Yaakov Breish was a Rav in Germany before the Holocaust. Right? Then he moved to, he saw what was going on, he moved to France. Ultimately, he survived the Holocaust in Zurich. He was a Rav in Zurich for many years. He died in 1976. So, Yaakov Breish has a tshuva like this. He says, V'hinei sipili harav ha'goyin Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. This is not Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, Rav Soloveitchik's father. This is Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik had three sons. The Brisk Rav, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, and he had a son, Rav Gershon Soloveitchik. This Rav Moshe Soloveitchik is Rav Gershon Soloveitchik's son. He was a grandson of Reb Chaim. He lived in Switzerland as well. So Reb Yaakov Breish said, Reb Moshe Soloveitchik told him the following idea. He says, Nechad HaReb Chaim. He's a grandson from Reb Chaim. Shehu shal haChazanish. He asked the Chazanish, point blank. Al zeh. Sha'imim olav shehit echol avakum. He said to the Chazanish, you should know, Rebbe, Reb Chazanish, you should know, you're the one that everyone says is matachol of companies. This is a great response. Ma'oid yomru alai. What else are they saying about me? Bekarev yomru alai sheni matachas v'sham gam eshizish. They can also say Amater Neshesish. Veheid lifnei ish mehemin biyoseish ashol lechazanish ala hashmona shal akum veosel lebeferish. Then he said over. Other people asked him. He was answered it. Vegam hey lifnei oid ish achem mehemin biyoseish shasu bahi rosa cholav akum af lekotem beheishonim. Vekinir mashikasa b'sefroi hanalai. He writes it in the sefer. Who rak b'derech shakla v'tarya was lomdis. Kvaldik. He asked, that's what he said. Chazish meant an alumnus, not a lachalamais. Everyone's getting so, going too far with this. The Chazish was a lumdus, a sefer. Lumdus, not a lachalamais. That's the way Reb Moshe Soloveitchik told Reb Yaakov Breish. He asked the Chazanish directly, and that's the way the story goes. Okay, so we won't blame credit wherever word you want to go. The Chazanish with the one who was Matachov companies, instead we'll go with Reb Moshe. Okay. This is really from last week's shift, for the record. We're a little behind time. We were supposed to finish this up last week. Now, for this week, we'll discuss Rav Moshe. Now, we know Rav Moshe wrote Igros Moshe, not for the sake of Lomdus, that he wrote Dibros Moshe. Now, Rav Moshe always took more pride in the Dibros than he did in the Igros. Everyone knew that when you got a wedding present from Rav Moshe, he summed you up by what he gave you. If he gave you Dibros, he thought you were a Lamdan. If he gave you Igros, he thought you weren't such a big Lamdan. That's the way it went with Rav Moshe.
He took...
I gave you Dibros. Okay, I don't know. Rav Moshe always took much more pride in his Dibros than he did in his Igros Moshe. The problem is that today no one learns the Dibros Moshe. They're so complicated, they're so long, it's so hard to go through them. But they're kedai to go through every once in a while. I just skip to the back where he gets to the, wraps it up in the back. But in Igros Moshe, Rav Moshe's purpose in Igros Moshe was halacha l'maaseh. That we can all somewhat agree on, that Rav Moshe was writing it as a halacha sefer. So let's deal with some of Rav Moshe's tshuvas. Now, yes, perhaps that specific person, that's a specific situation. Even though if you ever read the Hakdama to Igros Moshe, he writes, don't pass it from this sefer. B'chol tzvut is Yisrael. Everyone passes from Igros Moshe. That's the go-to sefer. That's what he writes in the beginning of the sefer.
That's like Rambam, who wrote it. You know, after I write the sefer, nobody will ever have any other...
That's right.
More Sfarma written on the Rambam.
That was the Rambam's agenda, was to give us something that we can just be that simple with and not so complicated. So Rav Moshe wrote a couple of tshuvas, and then I have over here, and if you look on the last page, I have a letter that Rav Moshe wrote in Madruch L'Kashrus in 1977. Keep an eye on the dates of some of these tshuvas. As you'll see, things change as the years go on. Perhaps there's a reason for it. So the first tshuva that Rav Moshe has was in Tezvav Sivan Tovshin Yudalid, 1954, which was a year after the Chazanish was already nifter. Chazanish's first sefer came out in 1911. So we were well aware of the Chazanish's heter. Could be Rav Moshe didn't have it. I don't know how well popular it was. Could be it was only in Eretz Yisrael, didn't make it. But the Chazanish was presumably before Rav Moshe's heter. What was Rav Moshe's heter? Zokti Rav Moshe. You got to read through these tshuvas carefully because some of the Echreinim come up with some wild ideas over here. So let's try to go through it as much as we can. So Tzav Moshe, Ubedover HaCholav Shal HaCompanies, B'medina Seinu Asher Yesh Pikuach Memsholo, V'mirvu Cholav Behem Etmei Yenshu, they'll get punished. V'yigami Yaskir Es Ezer Shem, they'll close up your business. Shalachin Vadei Mirs Tesim El Arif, so therefore the assumption is they're very afraid to mix in. So Tzav Moshe, Yesh Tam Godol Hatter. Okay, Yesh Tam Godol Hatter. That sounds like more than, you know, Yesh Makam Loimar. That sounds like, yeah, that's a good reason. Af b'loy shitas ha-prichadosh. So you might forget the prichadosh for a second. What's the prichadosh? That there's no, it's not easy to get a pig's milk, and there's no motivation, and it's expensive. So you might forget all that. We don't pass like the prichadosh. We pass like the chasam seif. Still mutter. Why? B'shim do ikur diyadiyah bruhu kiriyam hamish. So you might have gavaldik alam this. Knowing is seeing also. Although the Mishnah says you have to see the milking, so I can see it through knowing. My knowing is as if I saw the milking itself. Either was no Jew sitting there, so that's good enough. Yediya is kiriya. That's what Moshe's lumdus. The Chazanish doesn't lay out the lumdus like this. The Chazanish just leaves it as government mir says and move on. But Moshe adds Tosefes lumdus over here. What's his Tosefes lumdus? Is that there is a din ri'iyah. There is seeing. There's two types of seeing. There's physical seeing, and there's lumdish seeing. If I know something, What? Let's think about what is seeing. Seeing is knowing. If I can know without seeing, so then it's the same thing. So Rav Moshe, so my knowing is my seeing. So I fulfilled the Tanna's Chazal of seeing it. Rav Moshe goes on to bring numerous rayas to this. One of his rayas he brings is: do you ever see a Maisa's Nos? You don't really get up close and personal to watch a Maisa's Nos. The Torah says you see what looks like a Maisa's Nos, and you're able to know that this is probably what's happening. And that's enough for Eidos. Why? Because sometimes knowing is like you saw it. So that's one of Rav Moshe's rayas. Hadas Baldin is perhaps a different lumdus. The lumdus over here Rav Moshe uses is that sometimes knowing it is as good as seeing it. So that's a shayla. If Hadas Baldin is the pshat that he's admitting to it, you can shaf chiyuvim on yourself. You can decide that you want to pay money. Doesn't mean we don't know that you're telling the truth, but if you want to pay, you know, knock yourself out. That's why that's like shavi nafshi chaticha desur, these types of things. We don't know if you're telling the truth, but if you want to do that, then we're not going to stop you. But over here, we're going to say that I never saw these two people. I never saw what the Gemara calls kimuchol b'shvei feres. I never really saw the ma'asebiyah. But I could tell from watching from a distance what's probably happening, and yet you're going to give these two people misa. So that's your ma'asebiyah, because knowing is seeing. So here also, I know with a certainty that there's no chance in the world that there is pig's milk and Tuscan milk. So that's your ma'asebiyah. So it's the same thing as the Jew watching it. That's Rav Moshe's lumness. And he brings
there's a corollary with Yichud.
Oh, that's
because,
right.
Because the door's open. I know that nothing happened.
Right. Then Rav Moshe brings another riot to the Gemara as these types of ideas. Of, let's say another example. Chazaka ina de moisa bilasa bilaznus. There's a chazaka that if a man is together with a lady, the assumption is he decided to marry her. Do you know? No. You don't know for sure, but there's an assumption. Assumptions carry weight. Just like, and Rav Moshe calls that a shvacha assumption. Because there are people that just do his nos. But Zot Yomayshe, if you know with certainty, and this is where you can argue on Rav Moshe, where's the certainty that there's no mixed pig's milk? Where's the certainty? Because what? They'll get $150 fine? That's not certainty. But if there is certainty, so Zot Yomayshe, that certainty is good enough. And if we'll just skip down to the last line. Zot Yomayshe, Ulchein, Becholov she'asu rak b'chol ve'akum, ve'en Yisrael roi yesh lahatir, gam b'Yisrael yoidin yediyah beruah dehave kiri'iyah. So it's like I saw it. They'll have to close their business. Again, if they have to close, that's a big loss, not the penalty. Closing is a big loss. And the government on top of them. Rav Moshe argues that's enough to create a certainty. It's like I saw it. That's according to everyone. They ain't tam lachloik bezeh. I mean, Rav Moshe is bavarning arkud. Maybe he'll tell me it's not true. Maybe it's not such a certainty. Dr. Rav Moshe, how it is? Ulechein haroyt elisma chulahakol yesh loy tam godl v'rashoy. That sounds like an endorsement. If you want to, Dr. Rav Moshe, you can. Ukemoshe mekilum is a haroyv bnei adam shoyim reitayr. Like many people in 1954 were doing. V'gam habir rabbonim v'chas v'shalom loy meshoisim shleikidin. So hopefully we'll see later. Menashe Klein Tainis, this whole tshuva of Rav Moshe is backwards. Rav Moshe wasn't coming to be mat chol of companies of chatchila. Rav Moshe was coming to justify why so many good God-fearing Jews are not makbet. Not that Rav Moshe was coming the other way and permitting lechatchila for you to go out to the refrigerator and buy one over the other. No, Rav Moshe was working backwards. So many people were being nichshol, and Rav Moshe couldn't handle that. So many good Jews are not doing the right thing. So he came up with this idea to justify their behavior. I don't know. It depends which line of the tshuva you want to focus on. Avom, this is where everything gets lebedik. Avom mikomok and lebali nefesh min horoi lahachmir. For those bali nefesh, it's right that they should be machmir. There was a joke that people used to say over there. Rav Moshe added this line for the Chassidim. I don't know if it's true, if it's not true. That's the version I always heard all the years when I was in yeshiva. He added this line to make the Chassidim happy. Okay, I'll give you something that you have to be samecha. The aim is emishem yura. The kach ani noig lahachmir laatzmi. So Rav Moshe, that's what I used to do. I was machmir chov Yisrael. Avo misha rotzel lahokel hu oisa kedinoi. Again, you're getting a very different message in each line of the tshuva. In the beginning of the tshuva, you sound like he's endorsing it. Then he cuts back and says, well, that's the justification. And then he says, but if you're a Baal Nefesh, you should be Machmer. And then he says, it's Maker Adin. It's very confusing. That's why Mamish photocopied almost the whole tshuva. It's a long tshuva. Because you gotta get the feel what Rav Moshe is telling us. Therefore, Avamisha Ratzel Haku Lois Kadine, the Ein Lahakshiva Kimazalzal Bisru. Okay, don't consider someone who's that he's Mazalzal. Does that mean it's the right thing to do? It's not the right thing to do? It's very, very confusing from the tshuva, from Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe wrote another tshuva, and this is even more confusing. Rav Moshe wrote a tshuva in Igros Moshe, I think it's Yeredei Chelik Beis, this is a continuation of the tshuva, I apologize. Someone wrote back to Rav Moshe, and they tied it to Rav Moshe, you got the facts wrong. You think the government of Hamad makes such a difference? It's a joke. They write, "Do b'davim hashik asaf to share rights alak b'chol shal companies." Shein tachas hashkachas m'mshalo yesh loy tam godol mishum shiyedia nechsheves kiriya. Because again, Rav Moshe's lum this is that knowing is seeing. Again, you have to just for a pasht the cheshbon. Rav Moshe, I think, was coming to bavor in the kasha of the achronim. The lamaisi, you have to see it. So to Moshe, I am seeing it. There's two types of seeing. There's physical seeing and there's lamdisha seeing. So to Moshe, this is called lamdisha seeing. I'm seeing it. I'm fulfilling the din of the mishnah of seeing.
Can I just ask on that?
Yeah.
Can you say that, for instance, if you see a guy running through a room and there's another guy. He's got a knife in his hand. He comes running out.
Right.
The knife's bloody. You go in, the guy's dead of a stab wounds. We still can't.
So that's where Moshe, we didn't have a chance to go through. Well, where Moshe brings raya that we would do something similar to that by nefashis. We would. If we have enough of a hichacha, obviously you'd have to know all the background. You know, there's someone hiding, there's a trap door, there's a window, but if there's no other way, then we would add up the pieces and make it work. They talk about, how do you ever watch a tefillah's ger of a lady? Who watches her tefillah? Right? How do they do the same thing? We see her going into the mikvah, we see her coming out of the mikvah. So we add
a woman.
That's not gonna work for a bezdin. It's not going to be a Bezdin. You need Edus from a Bezdin.
No, but why can't she... And she
that's Eid Mipi, that's Eid Mipi. Don't you mean that's not Edus? I got to see it. The Bezdin needs to see it.
The Bezdin needs to see it.
Yeah. No, that's Eid Mipi. That's Edus Mipi Edus. That's secondhand Edus. So Dr. Moshe, listen to this. He says, V'avshe sholach li tshuva mat mi paket ha-shulten sho'inish ha-zehu rak me'esru v'chamisha. So what was the first argument to Moshe? The fine is so minimal. It's $25 up to $100. This is 1952. I don't know what it is today. In 1954, I'm sorry. V'gam hei mekabli shochta. You can bribe anyone today. Everyone knows that. Everyone's bribed. Everyone could be bribed. Zogtiv Moshe, leinis batla b'zahi idea. Zogtiv Moshe, that doesn't change my opinion. Why? Mishum de'ein lehem b'shvil ma la'avu l'hanesh elitin sheichat. Where's the motivation? Zogtiv Moshe, there's got to be a motivation here to use pig's milk. De'ein lehem b'shvil ma la'avu l'hanesh elitin sheichat. Where's the motivation to bribe people? There's not enough gain that you're willing to risk everything. Right? Everyone knows in life it's all about the risk versus the gain. So if I'm going to risk getting closed down, right? We all know people do things that are questionable in business, and they take a risk and a gamble, and sometimes they get caught, sometimes they don't get caught. But the risk has to at least match the gain. You're not going to risk your reputation for no gain or very minimal gain. How much are you going to gain by putting pig's milk in? What, are you going to save money? What are you going to save? So it costs you more in the pig's milk. So to Moshe, then there's no motivation. He says, "Vade kish yisalikach pa'olim lachlev susim mugmalim." Right? What's going to happen? You're going to have to get workers. They're going to milk horses and bring the milk in. The chazirim yitzruch l'sham them rohin rav. You got to pay them even more money. The gam the shachet kol up. You got to bribe the whole team, right? Sheish that company sheish tuku. The gam the shachet the mashkiach hamemshala. You know, people got to be bribed for this to work. You got to bribe all the people on the floor. Then you got to bribe the guy from the FDA. Everyone's got to be paid off for what? Where's the motivation, Dr. Moshe? Okay, even in 1954, things haven't gotten better in this world. People still, bribes are very popular. The whole business is workers. It's all the workers. The workers are milking. Again, today it's even more than that. Today the workers are doing nothing. Today it's computers. It's all computer run today. It's going to cost you a lot of money to bribe people. You're not going to gain anything. And if there's no gain, let's not forget, the goyim are not just trying to stick it to us. Because again, who's the mass purchaser of Tuscan milk? It's not Jewish people. Right? They're not going to put pig's milk in Tuscan to stick it to the Jews. They're going to do it to make money. But if they're going to lose money on the deals, there is no motivation. When there's no motivation, there's no chash. No chash, no problems, Dr. Moshe. Therefore, he writes, maybe there'll be a little pig's milk floating around, which is not the case today. Today, they don't have pig's milk floating around. Today, they have cows that are hooked up to machines, and the cows are connected, and there's security, and things beeping, and you know, it's a whole different world. So, Dr. Moshe, then maybe you can slip a little bit in, and no one will notice. So you're right. The fine is minimal, but they'll lose their license. That's a big deal. They'll have to close the business. I guess that's the way it works. The first time they penalize you, if you don't get the hint, they shut you down. Even though we don't make up our own things, even though he just made up his own thing, but this idea of mirsis, I'm not making anything up. I'm using the Gemara. That was the godless of Rav Moshe. He was able to take a Gemara by Yizar and connect it to a Metzias in 1954. Dr. Moshe, the Gemara tells me that there's no motivation and there's mirsis. So Dr. Moshe, that's what I have over here. I have no motivation and I have mirsis. I'm good to go. Dr. Moshe, motivation we can figure out on our own. You don't need the Gemara to tell you that there's nothing for them to gain by putting. And this is true. This is Pashut. What would Tuscan gain today by putting in a little pig's milk? It would be such a hassle for them.
But if they, for example, watered down the milk so that they could save a lot of money and then add an ingredient that made it have the consistency
that's correct.
Of genuine milk,
that's correct.
They could save a lot of money.
That's correct.
And that ingredient might be non-kosher.
Perhaps. Perhaps. But that's already a nukhshash. That's a nukhshash that you're suggesting. The Gemara had one nukhshash of mixing it with pig's milk. You're saying maybe they'll put chemicals in. Or other things. Other ingredients.
Or concentrated pig milk.
So we're going to see later on another statement from Rav Moshe Soloveitchik where apparently pig's milk somehow prevents milk from spoiling. So then you have your argument. If it prevents it from spoiling, now there's motivation. Now there's the opposite. They don't have this. That's why they need it. Maybe that's the biggest riot. That's a question because it spoils so fast. Zok Yomayisha again. Ulechein. Chuvasi harishoni sheyesh tam godla mekilim hu nechein abrua. Says Yomayisha, I'm sticking to my guns. You did not persuade me at all. But he repeats it again. Avovadai lebalei nefesh min haroi lahachmer. Okay. Whatever Baal Nefesh is, I don't know who Baal Nefesh is. But here Ramesh is sticking to his guns. He's not impressed by the small penalty. He's not impressed by any of this. Ramesh says it's all about licensing. It's all about reputation. It's not about anything else. Okay. Another tshuva from Ramesh. Ramesh has another tshuva over here, number 11. This was already 1970. We're fast forwarding 16 years later. So Dr. Ramesh, someone asked him the following shayla. I already told you that it's okay. So the question that was presented to Moshe was if you have a yeshiva. In 1970s, yeshivas were having financial trouble. And to buy, now I think the government, I think, pays for some of the milks, if I'm not mistaken. But back then they didn't, and it cost the yeshiva money. So the yeshiva had two choices. They can have financial trouble even more so, or they can get chol of companies and save a little bit money on the milk. So they asked Rav Moshe, is it okay for the yeshivas to purchase chol of companies' milk? That was a shout out to Rav Moshe. So we would have thought, yeah, well, why not? Rav Moshe was matur. Look what Rav Moshe writes, and this is why we get very confused about what Rav Moshe really held. So Dr. Rav Moshe, Zevade roi leminhala yeshivas katana shiyid letamidim chol of shal elo companies. It's more correct to give them home companies. Shema midim Yisrael liras achliva, which has proper Jewish supervision. Avshu biyukam ma'at. It was a little bit more expensive. Shall yeshivas oilas a sach god b'meshach hashana? Yeshivas spend a lot of money. V'amatzim shall yeshivas dochuk b'shana meilu, and financial situations are difficult in the yeshivas. Shebishvil zeh mekilim be'ezi yeshivas, and for that reason, many yeshivas decided to opt out for chalov companies. V'yimo komakim kedai lahachmir, ki gamzeh hu minyonei chinuch v'limud. So this is part of the school's job. Schools are here to educate. What are we educating our tamidim? Shiyodu shekadai v'roi that neiteri lahachmir. They should learn that it's right for us to drink Chalav Yisrael milk. Even though, so now it's like a little confusing. Moshe just told us it's really okay. So we're supposed to educate our children under which banner? Of what's really okay, or are we supposed to educate our children that they should one day want to be a Baal Nefesh? Maybe that's what Moshe means. Maybe we should educate our children to go a notch above. Although it's sure accepted, and if your parents drink the milk, they're great people. But you should try to, we're supposed to educate our children to be better, to be Baal Nefesh. Maybe that's what Moshe means. And then he writes again, V'chol atoysa yeshiva harayu kedei l'chanach dor nem al Hashem l'terose. U'minyani chinach en l'tzamtzim. We don't pull any stops when it comes to chinuch, right? Every school says this. When they come collecting money for you, they tell you this. We can't. We got to use all the money we need for education. But if you live in far communities where you can't get your hands on it, which today it's not as bad as it used to be, for who dove a kosher, if you can't get it, you can't get. You live outside of the communities where it's easy accessible, you live outside of the communities where it's easy accessible, you shouldn't be machmir. So again, you get like mixed feelings from this tshuva as well. If you turn to the last page, to a letter that Rav Moshe wrote in English, in a Madruch L'Kashrus, in 1977. This is 7 years past this tshuva. This is great. This is in English. So Rav Moshe to my friend, the Rav, the great light, Avraham Weinfeld Shlita, peace and blessings, all of it. It doesn't sound as good in English as it does in Hebrew. Regarding the milk of companies in our country, there are certainly reasons to permit and to say they are not included in the prohibition stated by Chazal. And we see them in leniency because of the difficult circumstances in many places. However, note the darkened words. However, in a place where it is possible to obtain Chalav Yisrael, even if doing so involves some effort and also costs a bit more, it is not proper to be lenient in this, and one must obtain Chalav Yisrael. So now I'm totally confused. What exactly was the Shita of Rav Moshe? It's very confusing. You get different implications in different places. So,
1716 is what year?
I believe it's 1977, if I'm not mistaken. So that's also not so clear. So if you look at Rabbi Forst's Sefer, Rabbi Forst has a Sefer on Kashrus, where he writes in a footnote, he says, and don't tell me that Rav Moshe's Talmidim that we know of today that eat Chol of Stam is a rye that Rav Moshe, that's really mutter. They did it out of respect for their Rebbe. That's what he writes. They did it out of, to show that their Rebbe wrote it, and they wanted, he quotes a Gemara Pesachim, I didn't look it up, but they did it out of reverence to their Rebbe. I don't know what that means, to be honest with you, but that's what he writes. So obviously many of Rav Moshe's Talmidim today are noy to be Mekel. This is Rav Moshe's tshuva. There's one more tshuva that's in the questionable chelik, where in the middle of the lines in the tshuva, he also makes a comment that it's only really b'shas adchak. So, it's very unclear what exactly Rav Moshe held. Many people today are saying, Michal, this Rav Moshe, or you call it the Chazanish, call it what you want. It's the same svara. The svara doesn't change. You want to call it the Chazanish, you want to call it Rav Moshe. It's the same basic idea. Government involvement is enough to create a mirsus. The mirsus creates the fact that it's considered a roi shechol b'Yisrael. However, if you look on page 3 and 4, there are quite a few achrayim, not only chassidishers, but quite a few chassidishers, that took big issue with this Rav Moshe. Rabbi Yaakov Breish took issue, as did Rabbi Menashe Klein, as did the Debrett Zinner Rav. They all had their own issues with Rav Moshe. In my humble opinion, Rabbi Menashe Klein's arguments are quite very, very weak. In my humble opinion, you can look at it on page 2. We'll go through some of it again. I don't want to make this a third part, so we're going to try to wrap it up as quickly as we can. To me, Rav Menashe Klein's arguments are very weak. His first argument is Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says that I'm going to be matir chol of companies even without the pre-chodesh. So says Rav Menashe Klein, you see from Rav Moshe that he thinks you can use the pre-chodesh. I'm not sure what you're talking about. Rav Moshe never said that. Rav Moshe was saying that forget the pre-chodesh, I have a better heter. Not that Rav Moshe was using the pre-chodesh to be matir. So to me, that's a very weak time. Then comes along Rav Menashe Klein, he says, what are you talking about? Cholov companies are asur mitam neder. The Chassam Sofer said, and this is true, the Chassam Sofer wrote that cholov shechol bo Yisrael, if it's not cholov shechol bo Yisrael, it's asur. Even if you can come up with a reason, it's asur als minug, and minug is a neder. So therefore, says Rav Menashe Klein, that even today you'll come up with a svar, it's still asur. Again, I don't understand what that means. That was until you have a motivational reason to say that this is really cholov Yisrael. Meaning that's talking about to say that I want to just not keep the... Rav Moshe's arguing is that the Mishnah, this is the Mishnah, right? This is my argument I had with someone about, do you have to be makban a chol of Yisrael during the Asher Shemei Tshuva? Right? So, So I asked Rabbi Forsheimer this in Lakewood, and he told me you should. I said, I don't understand why. The Aruch HaShulchan writes very clearly that the reason why you don't have to be makban on, let's say, Chodesh and Yashan during Asher Shemei Tshuva is because those things, the pshat is that there are Rishonim that hold you can be makel. Right? There are Rishonim that hold you can be makel. The idea of pas palter is really a cop-out. We should really be makban all year long. The reason why we're not is not because we're Samech on Rishonim, it's because we couldn't handle it. So for 10 days we push ourselves. It's not the pshat that Rav Moshe was saying that really you should be makban on Chol Yisrael, but you can't handle it. Rav Moshe was saying this is justified Chol Yisrael. So why should you be makban during a Asher Shemei Tshuva? So he told me, no, you should always do things more from during a Asher Shemei Tshuva.
And what's the reason for Pesach? Like a lot of people are makban Pesach after Chol Yisrael.
I have no idea. Maybe the Chayshish.
That's because of the
Chametz. Because they think they put Chametz in? I don't know.
It's not about the Shishim.
What? In Chol of Stam Milk?
No. Yeah.
But why more is the Chashash Chametz?
Oh, yeah.
You don't know what was put into it. Right. That was the Shadal Bittel before Pesach.
That's only milk that you buy on Pesach.
That's right.
Before Pesach.
It's bottled. So Menashe Klein's Tshuvas, I have a very difficult time understanding. He makes another argument which needs Birur Ayidei Metzias, where he argues that every company has a right to withhold 2% of the information. They only have to give you 98% of the ingredients, 2% they get to hold for privacy purposes. I have no idea. That's what he writes. So therefore he says, how do you know that little 2% is not pig's milk?
It's still going to be Nisid Rabbanon.
Right. First of all, he kind of is chishim. It's not, but he doesn't think you have.
So
he
thinks. Like
Lord
and stuff,
right, but is that true that 2% can?
Like the Coca-Cola.
Right, but the thing. Right, but is that true that can? But again,
so.
But I still think that something as big as pig's milk, yeah, I don't think would go under the radar like something about some form of ingredient we never heard of.
It was years ago they used to say that's why certain products, even though you read you.
Right. Because it's 2%.
Because they say, for instance, on baked products, they could have up to 2% lard in.
That's right. That's his argument. Now, then he writes at the end, and he says, for this reason, he's convinced that Rav Moshe was never matarit. Rav Moshe was such a gadol, he was trying to answer why Klal Yisrael is all being nechshal. That's his final conclusion in Rav Moshe's Tshuva. The argument that Rav Yaakov Breish addresses, I think, is somewhat that needs a little bit more discussion, is a Ramah with a Shach. The Ramah writes in the end of Siman Kuf Tezvav and Sef Beis, he says, we mentioned from the Gemara that if you want to milk a cow and use that milk for cheese, it can only come from cow milk, not pig's milk. If you were to take pig's milk and mix it to cheese, it won't harden in a way that you can produce cheese. So the Ramah says, what happens if the guy wants to make cheese? So if he wants to make cheese, you know the milk that he's milking, it's got to be authentic cow. But you never really watched the milking. But you know the guy wanted to make cheese out of it. So the Ramah says, you can't use the milk. What do you mean? Why can't I use the milk? I know with Yediyah Berura, no guy is foolish enough to waste milk. So Dr. Ramah, you still can't eat it. Why? So the Shach writes, Ma'achesh Shalero HaChaliva. It's a din. You got to see it. So Dr. Yaakov Breish, hey, what's Rav Moshe do with that? That's a good kash. That's a chayra, a very strong kash. What's Rav Moshe going to do with this Ramah and the Shach? The Ramah and the Shach say very clearly, there's a din you need to see the milking. So Rav Moshe's will have to tell you some form of alumnus that yediyah is not as good as this yediyah. That yediyah is perhaps he's not going to ruin his cheese, but this yediyah is going to close his company, he's going to get fined. That's a better yediyah. That already is an argument I can hear. Then Rav Yaakov Breish argues another argument where he says another story from Rav Moshe Salavechik where there was a shivcha. There was a cleaning lady who used to go up a big hill in Switzerland to milk the cows. And she'd always come down in the summer, and she told one of the workers, you know what my trick is? I go up, and I milk the cows, I come down, and I put a little pig's milk in to make sure the milk doesn't spoil. Zaki Biakov Reich, look what you see! Even in a country like Switzerland, you can have the guy mixing it. What are we talking about? There's no FDA on what you do in your backyard. Don't buy milk from your backyard, 100%. That's not a company, so Biakov Reich says, I know it's not a company, but you can't take a chance. I don't understand what the one has to do with the other. That's Rabbi Yaakov Breish's argument. And then Rabbi Yaakov Breish also thinks that there's no real government involvement. The government uses chemicals. So the whole re'iyah comes from chemicals, and that can't work. I don't know why not. If that gives me the idea, it gives me the idea. So Rabbi Yaakov Breish also comes out adamantly against it, as does Rav Moshe Sternbuch, as does others. Halacha l'maisa, I think that kasha that Rabbi Yaakov Breish has from the Ramah and the Shach is a strong kasha. Everything after that, I think, is a little bit weak. Rav Moshe Sternbuch also makes this argument. Oh, the fine is so small. Rav Moshe Bavorn said, it's not about the fine and the penalty. It's about your reputation. It's about losing your license. I think today, if word would get out that Tuscan is putting in milk, I would assume there'd be an outrage from the people. There'd be letters and people yelling and screaming. So I think today, that's what people are saying on today. However, I'm just going to leave off with this. Rav Moshe Shdemich has the following line. He says that someone who's saimich on call of companies today, it's not a right that they don't have Yerushalayim. But me, someone who doesn't have Yerushalayim, who mechabish is a heter. He looks for such a heter. That's the lashon of a Moshe Shdemich. We'll leave it with that. You come to my house, you'll see a lot of Tuscan milk and a lot of Edie's ice cream, but that's just what I do in my personal house.